Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
I'm Puma. We're glad you joined us today.
Yeah, welcome. And on this podcast, Puma, what do?
We talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between.
All of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Everything which covers everything.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and it's fun too, because speaking of everything, right? So last week we finished our integrity series and we're starting a brand new series, which I'm really excited about. I'm excited because this is a question, a thought that we've had in our youth ministry for a long time.
Well, it's something that we have questions. I mean, dealing with young people, young adults, and just even in my own life, my own experiences, my own, you know, journey, if you will. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had questions. I mean, I've met a lot of people in my life. I've been lived in different places, and you know, it's always scary when you know, meet someone for the first time and you don't know if there's someone that, you know, they're going to be lifelong friends or, you know, someone that you want to really hang out with or influence. And, you know, I've had moments where, you know, I've met somebody and they seem really great on the surface. And then after a short period of time, you realize, man, this person is, there's
something wrong.
There's a special kind of evil going on here, right? Or they're just, you know, that you realize that they're just a user or whatever. And, you know, and so we're always evaluating people and relationships and based upon what they do and the character and everything else. And, you know, last thing we want is to get burned, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to attach ourselves to somebody and find out that, you know, kind of they pull a rug out from underneath us, so to speak, and kind of leave us hanging and leave us worse off than before or actually hurt, you know. And we're always trying to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is what we're kind of talking about, relationships. And this is something that happens a lot when people think about God, honestly. You know, there's a lot of questions about God. Is God good? Is he, you know, real? Is he going to ask me to do something and then kind of leave me hanging, you know, and then kind of leave me with the bill, so to speak, right?
Right. Well, even just in, I mean, seemingly talking about relationships and friendships, people that we hope to trust in that let us down, you know, that's such a huge, our whole nation is starving for something real.
Right.
For real relationships. Even the book just finished, came out a few months ago, The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt. We are so anxious and insecure, and for some reasons, very legitimate reasons. I mean, people break trust. We're selfish.
Oh, yeah. My faith in humanity goes down again this past week. Every week it seems to go down. I mean, I want to think good of people, but people just constantly let me down.
Yeah, disappoint.
Not that I've ever let anyone down, right?
No. When was the last time a Puma's let someone down?
Right, yeah. Seriously. You know, don't talk to my family. Yeah.
Right. But trust is hard. And I love how you've said before that relationships move at the speed of trust.
They move at the speed of trust,
yeah. And trust is something that seems hard to find nowadays.
Yeah. You
know? So what is our big idea? What is this new series, Puma?
Yeah. So as we've had a lot of questions, people have asked, and you know, it's like, well, I like Jesus, but man, that God of the Old Testament, he just is mean and angry all the time, and I really don't want anything to do with him. I want the New Testament Jesus. I don't want the Old Testament God.
Yes, I've heard that so many times.
And I'm like, you know what? There's a disconnect there somewhere. There's something. There's something not right there. How can God be bad in the Old Testament, but Jesus be good in the New Testament? I mean, are they different? I mean, is God somehow evolving, right, from being this kind of primitive, archaic, kind of mean-spirited, no compassion, to all of a sudden we get to Jesus, all love? And I think even like the loving part of Jesus, while I believe he is always loving, I think even that's a mischaracterization because love doesn't always wear a happy face.
Right. Sometimes love flips tables.
Sometimes love flips tables, yes.
That'd be a good t-shirt.
Right. Yeah. You know, sometimes love says no. You know, sometimes love says this is enough.
Right.
Sometimes love says I'm not going to let you destroy yourself. And so I'm going to withhold from you and hold you back from what you desire because if you go there, it will destroy you. You see, love has many, many faces, but the caricature, I would say, of God in the Old Testament, often I think it's part of Satan's deception, trying to paint God as someone who is not worth knowing, not worth pursuing, especially in the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament, and I think fully convinced that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he doesn't change at all. I mean, he is who he is.
Yep.
So as he is in the Old Testament, so he is in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And so what we want to do with this series is really kind of explore, you know, who is God? What is God like in the Old Testament? I mean, mm-hmm. what is his character? Is in kind of the phrase, would you like to hang out with the God of the Old Testament? Mm. Would you like to spend a day hanging out with him? Is he someone you wanted to hang out with?
That's a good question.
And we just want to explore that question and, you know, kind of introduce it today. And in the weeks to come, look at different Old Testament accounts, how God interacted with people, and see what's really going on there.
Yeah. Well, it's awesome. I'm excited. Let's explore what the Bible has to say about the God of the Old Testament. Okay, Puma, here we go. The God of the Old Testament. And I want to say that with quotes, right? Because I personally believe the God of the Old Testament is the same God of the New Testament. But for this series, we'll just, you know, say the God of the Old Testament.
Right. We'll just say that, yeah, the caricature that people have mm-hmm. is God in the Old Testament oftentimes seems very mean and vicious.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've heard that many, many times. And you almost see that even in culture. People have, you know, mm-hmm. these caricatures of God.
Yeah, the separation.
Yeah. So today we just want to kind of introduce this. And, you know, how do you get to know somebody, Tori?
I mean, I would say a couple ways, but probably the biggest one is time. Just spend time with a person to see what they're like. You know, I suppose you could sort of know about someone, but not really know them through, like, word of mouth or reading about someone, you know, like Abraham Lincoln. I can read a lot about him.
Yeah.
But do I really know him? Not really.
Like if you wanted to hang out with a celebrity, you could pick somebody today. Who would you want to hang out with and why?
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Big fan of Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
I mean, why? Not just the memes of Chuck Norris are great. But no, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, in all reality, I would probably still pick Chuck Norris, but I think he's just a fun character. Walker, Texas Ranger, some of those Roundhouse, you know, just iconic. I would just love to get to know Chuck outside of his martial arts and his movies. Mm. You know, he's got a gym and all this other stuff, but he'd just be a fun character. I mean, some of us may not know who Chuck Norris is, which breaks my heart. So if we had to pick someone a little more modern.
Right. Well, what happens if you met Chuck Norris and you found out within the first 20 minutes, he's just a total jerk? Just a total self-centered. Would you want to spend the rest of the day with him?
No.
Well, why not?
That'll be heartbreaking.
Because he's got a gym and he's super cool and he does movies. And
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, if I met Chuck Norris and he was just a selfish bully, not only would that break my heart, but it would, no, absolutely not. In fact, I would probably, if the first 10 minutes he was just a jerk, I would want to leave because I wouldn't want that to disdain my view of him, which probably is too late.
Yeah.
But also, who wants to be around someone who's just mean?
Right. Well, isn't that the way we pick people based upon what they do and what they have, but reject people based upon their character?
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah.
You know, in culture, you think about who you want to hang out with. We hang out with people. I mean, I love, you know, some of these celebrities, you know, they do these interviews and, you know, they're so great. But then when they, you know, in the movies, they're, you know, these characters that they play, but then they, when you see them just as they really are and talking, think, wow, they are just a jerk, you know, and it really changes how your perspective you know, of them.
That's true.
You know, but see, I think we have this caricature of God in the Old Testament that people really haven't read the Old Testament and let God tell us who he is. We just see these from a distance snippets and we make all these assumptions like we know what's going on. Mm. We make these assumptions or character judgments of God because we think we know who he is.
Yeah,
from afar, but not really get him close. I love in Exodus 33:11. I love this verse. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend.
Wow,
isn't that cool?
That is cool.
I mean, Moses, just the whole history of Moses, and you know his birth and growing up in Egypt, and then you know at 40, you know, murdering a man and fleeing, and then for 40 years, you know, in the wilderness as a shepherd, the burning bush, God says, you know, lead my people.
Yeah.
And, you know, Moses really at the age of 80 really began this relationship with Yahweh that was a relationship that was real and personal, and Moses experienced him, but Moses also talked with him. And so as they, you know, built the tabernacle, as you read through Exodus and Leviticus and in there, and they build a tabernacle, and God would meet with Moses there. And it says that God would meet with Moses face to face as a man meets with his friend.
That's crazy.
I mean, God hung out with Moses like two friends would hang out.
Yeah, what kind of relationship does that take?
Yeah, I mean, for you and I and for those listening, would we desire that? To hang out with God face to face like a person hangs out with their friend? Is he someone that we want to hang out with? Yeah. Moses wanted to hang out with God. And God, this is the one that really wanted to hang out with
Moses.
Moses.
Yeah.
Honestly, we all give ourselves high marks, right? Personally. Yeah. When I evaluate my life, high marks.
Right. I'm always better than I actually am.
I'm always better than I actually am. But honestly, am I someone that everybody would just die to hang out with? Right? Is that the kind of person I am?
Right.
Right? Yeah. Or do I have moments where I'm not really, at this moment, I'm really not someone you really want to hang out with. Mm-hmm. I'm having really a rummy, crotten, you know,
a crummy day.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know, we have those moments.
We do. We all do.
And yet, the Lord wanted to hang out with Moses and speak to him like a person speaks to their friend.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, just the humility of God to want to not even, you know, I guess befriend, but to associate with a sinner when he is almighty, perfect God. You know, we say that God, the Old Testament, I think you see some of the most holiest and most, if I could even say, more flamboyant acts of his righteousness that we don't see as clearly. I mean, we see it in Jesus, but we don't see as often, you know, thunders and clouds and earthquakes and the ground swallowing people. I mean, you see the power of God, and yet he wants to be with people who are stained, dirty, sinful, who rejected him. That's amazing.
Yeah. And he doesn't want to just be with people from afar. Yeah, I want to be in the room with my kids. I'm just going to watch them play. And I'm with them, but I'm not like with them. You know what I mean? I'm just kind of like observing and watching over them. That's not the picture that we get in the Old Testament. We get the picture that, no, God wants to be right next to us. He wants to be with us. Whatever's going on in our lives, he wants to be going through it with us, and which is amazing. But you can't get to know somebody. All right, so Chuck Norris. We'll take Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't get to know somebody by watching their movies.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
You don't get to know someone by, you know, reading what other people say about them. Right? I mean, what's the best way to get to know somebody?
To spend time with.
Spend time with them. And they have to want you to get to know them, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Because I'm a paparazzi, someone annoying, following, but the actual celebrity person, it doesn't care to know the person seeking them. Then all of a sudden, I'm annoying and I'm going to get escorted away, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're right. It has to go both ways.
Yeah. And so Moses has all these experiences with God, obviously the plagues and all that, just amazing things. And God delivered Israel, and Moses got to be firsthand witness to all these, I mean, just miracle after miracle after miracle. And what's fascinating is God just didn't do things, but he also wanted Moses to know him, to know his heart, to know what he's thinking, or know what he's really, really like. I want to read Exodus 34, 4 through 7, because this is one of those few cases in the Old Testament where God actually says what he is really like. God says what he's going to do, but rarely does he say, "This is my care. This is like this is who I am."
He lets his hair down. He gets vulnerable.
He's personal. Like, "This is me." It says, "So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones," which we'll get to that probably in a few weeks. Why was that? "And Moses went up Mount Sinai early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then," I love this, "then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him," stood there with Moses. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
That God came down and stood with Moses. I don't even know what that's like. I mean, we can speculate, you know, what that would be like or look like, but just the fact that God came down. He didn't say, "Moses, come up to my lofty place."
Yeah.
God came down to Moses and stood with him. And this is what happened. "And the Lord proclaimed his name, He proclaimed his name, the Lord, and he passed in front of Moses proclaiming. Now, one thing we had in our series when we talked about names, the names of God back like a year ago, that when someone proclaims their name, you know, they're proclaiming everything that they are,
yeah,
right? Their character and everything else. Yep. So, you know, one's name, you know, when you say my name is my bond, right? My name represents everything about me, my character, my history, everything. And so, you know, people would like swear by their name, right? That we sign our name to things,
right?
Right. My name is my testimony. My name is my
embodies who you are.
And so this is what the Lord is saying. He's proclaiming his name, his character. And this is what he says. He says, the Lord, and this is God speaking. He says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, forgiving rebellion, forgiving sin. Yet the Lord does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. So God says, this is who I am. And he speaks about himself in third person. He's saying to Moses, this is who I am. This is my character. I am compassionate. I am a God who is merciful.
Yeah.
I'm a God who is gracious, slow to anger. I'm abounding. I have almost like a limitless amount of loyal love and faithfulness. I'm true and real. I'm kind, I'm good, I'm reliable. He also says that I'm just. Right? He punishes sin. He wants to forgive sin. Right, he says, he forgives wickedness, rebellion, and sin, and yet those who are guilty do get punished for it.
Yeah,
you know, and he says, this is who I am, Moses. I want you to know my heart. So you know, as we look at all these character traits, what jumps out at you?
You know, knowing a little bit about just the Old Testament, other nations around here, I mean, yeah, the Hittites, the Amalekites. I mean, you have, you know, so many pagan nations. What is surprising is not that God would be just and would punish, you know, third, fourth generations. What is surprising is that he would show mercy at all. It was so common for gods to show wrath, and so common for gods to punish. It was not common at all for any gods in the entire area of that time, kind of even today still, for a God to show mercy. Slow to anger? That's crazy.
Right. Now that the slow to anger is the one that, I mean, when I was reading through this, that jumped out at me, because slow to anger for you and I, we interpret that, you know, humanly speaking, like, you know, a day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'll give you a day and then I'm coming after you. Right.
Yeah. Right.
Or, you know, I'll give you an hour. You know, when we think of slow to anger, we think of hours and minutes. When God says that he is slow to anger, he's thinking decades and centuries.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
Which is crazy. I mean, one of the pictures that, I mean, there's so many in the Old Testament. One of them that really gets me, so you remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Just the wickedness of those, you know, cities, you know, of Sodom, and, you know, the angels of the Lord come to Lot's house, and all the men of the city come pound on Lot's house and say, send these visitors out here to us so we can have sex with them.
Yeah.
The blatant, because, I mean, even where we are today in our culture, you know, with, you know, and here in June, you know, it's Pride Month all over the world, right? But you still don't see that just happening in the city park, right?
Right. Yeah, that would be extreme. And
yeah, even for today's standards, as low as maybe some would say, even that would be pushing it way beyond, right?
That's extreme,
right? And what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah was common in the culture, in the Canaanite culture, and the whole culture. That wasn't that wasn't an isolated instance. That was the whole culture.
That was every day. That was every day. Commonplace.
That was right. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah should have happened to the entire land, but it didn't.
Yeah.
So you have God saying to Abraham in Genesis 15, you know, that you and your descendants are going to go down to, you know, to Egypt basically and be there over 400 years before I bring you and the and all your descendants back to the promised land. And he says something really interesting in there that a lot of people skip over. He says, for the sin of the Amorites, which is the people in the land of Canaan, you know, mm-hmm. the Sodom and Gomorrah, that whole area. He says, for the sin of the Amorites have not reached their full.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. There was like a limit of sin that God was slow to dish out.
Yeah. So when I think of God being slow to anger, that all the people of the land in Canaan in the time of Abraham all deserve what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they deserve.
Yeah.
And when God says, Abraham, that the sin of the land hasn't reached its fulfillment, that God gives them over 400 more years to repent.
400 more years.
Over 400 more years to repent.
Yeah.
And then when they come out of the promised land, remember the story of Jericho?
Mm-hmm.
Rahab says that the fear of the God of Israel has filled the whole land, that God is still giving the land of Canaan opportunity to repent, the people to repent.
Right.
See, that is a picture of being slow to anger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a picture of the heart of God, just one snippet in the whole mm-hmm. Old Testament.
Right.
You know, and so when God says to Moses, this is who I am, this is my character, right? Mm-hmm. This is who I am, and you will see this character displayed in everything I do. Mm-hmm. Because people always do as they are.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever your character is, you're going to live that out. So when God says, I'm compassionate and merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, mm-hmm. but I do punish sin, but I want to forgive sin.
Yeah.
I'm willing to forgive sin and wickedness and rebellion, but I don't leave the guilty unpunished. I'm a just God.
Mm-hmm.
This is who I am, Moses. And you can take that to the bank. You know that this is who I am, and this is how I'm going to deal in every situation. This is who I am. And so this is what we want to do in this series, is we want to look at this heart of God in different Old Testament stories and accounts. And I want us to get a better picture of who God is. Because as Moses talked to God face to face, as a person talks with their friend, if this is who God is, why would we not want to hang out with him? Why would we not want to be drawn to him?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this the kind of person we want to hang out with?
Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, you pick anybody with just that one quality. This person is slow to anger. Yeah. Sign me up as a best friend. I mean,
yeah.
Because that's so rare. People are so quick. And ironically enough, if anybody had a right to be quick to anger, it would be a holy God.
Justified, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even though he's justified to smite us, he's slow. God is slow in one thing. He's slow to anger. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And so that's what we want to do in this series. We want to just really highlight God's heart in different Old Testament passages. Because I honestly get a little angered at the mischaracterization of God, the God that I'm growing to know, because people have these false ideas of him being unloving or uncaring, uncompassionate, quick to anger, et cetera, et cetera. And it's because they don't know him.
Yep.
They've heard things that other people have said about him, but they have not actually sat down with him in the Old Testament and just say, God, let me see who you are and let me draw near to you. And so that's what I want to do in this series.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to get to know the heart of God in the Old Testament in this series. And so, Puma, what's a good application question? What's something that we could ponder and reflect on?
Yeah, so as we were talking about this earlier, you know, today's application question is more of a personal reflection, really. But the question, why is it, do you think, that God wants us to know what he's like? I mean, why does God want us to know? Why would he say to Moses, Moses, we've had some experiences. I'm going to tell you what I'm really, really like. I'm going to tell you my character. Why would God tell that to Moses, and why would he tell that to you and me? What is it that God wants?
Yeah.
And so, you know, for a personal reflection question, you know, why would God want to reveal himself to you? And second, do you really want to get to know him and spend time like giving him a chance, like getting to know him and see if he's really worth, you know, being a friend.
Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah. Why would God want to reveal who he is to us? Why would God give us an invitation of relationship, and what are we going to do with that? Right. What is our responsibility in that invitation.
Right.
That's good. Yeah, thank you. And guys, I am excited for this series. I think there, like Puma said, there's a lot of misconstrued ideas of, quote, the God of the Old Testament. And so I'm excited to see what, not what we say, but what God's word mm-hmm. says about himself.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's awesome. And guys, as always, if you have any questions or comments or ideas of future, you know, potential series, please email us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to touch base with you guys and who knows, maybe even adventure into some of these ideas and questions you have. And yeah, guys, thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next Friday at 10:10.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.